puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Historic day today for an American soccer player. The first American male to ever score in a Champions League semifinal. It happens today. It was Christian Pulisic of Chelsea getting the game's first goal in the 14th minute. 29th minute, Karim Benzema tying it up for Real Madrid. That was UEFA Champions League today. Ends in a 1-1 draw. We're going to break that down here tonight with a number of people. And we will take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. We will talk more on the Super League. We'll talk Dynamo at Portland and then Dynamo entertaining LAFC this weekend. And by the way, guess where you're going to hear that game? Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we will cover the Dynamo games when they're picked up, about a half a dozen of them, when they're picked up by the Spanish national broadcast. So all the Dynamo coverage in English language, including six games on the soccer station in Houston, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So excited for the call of that game this weekend. I believe it's a 2 o'clock start. I'm going to have to check that and get that information to you. We will do a bit of a pregame show, Eddie Robinson and myself, and we'll give you the call live from down at BBVA Stadium. So again, we'll talk some Super League. We'll talk Champions League tonight. Right now, the CONCACAF Champions League is going on, with Atlanta getting set to take on the Philadelphia Union first. All right, the show as always. We got a big shout out here to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to them for being the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 for years. John and his firm, big soccer fans. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, you call the Daspit Law Firm. It's 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. My phone dings during the game, and John Daspit is a big Chelsea fan. And he says, why are they taking Pulisic out? Which, you know, he was playing so well, it was kind of hard for all of us to realize. But I think he was fatigued. Thomas Tuchel said that after the game, that he was fatigued. And he also obviously is in a bit of a rotation policy here with heavy, heavy games going on. And by the way, when you can bring on Havertz, you bring on Reece James and players of this caliber, pretty remarkable the depth that some of these super clubs have. All right. 713-780-3776 tonight. What does this mean to you, the American soccer fan? How historic of a day is this from Christian Pulisic? Now, no one's surprised, but it still is a meaningful moment. It's a meaningful milestone because no other U.S. male soccer player has ever scored in a Champions League semifinal. What does it mean to you? Are you proud? Is it the evolution of the American soccer player? I'm going to answer that one for you. Yeah, it sure is. Never had this kind of quality playing on teams this big. But I remember year after year after year, when are we going to produce, you know, attacking players that can run with the ball at their feet, can eliminate defenders off the dribble? Well, you got one. And he's wearing number 10 for Chelsea, by the way. His name is Christian Pulisic. So what does his goal today mean to you, the American soccer fan? Did you see it? Is it a prideful moment for you? What do you think? By the way, all the English guys calling him Captain America, you got to love it. Historic day. Real Madrid, Chelsea, 1-1. Guests on the show tonight, Houston Dynamo, Maxi Arruti. He's coming up in the next segment. Maxi Arruti will join me. He's talking, I'm going to ask him about the Champions League. I'm going to ask him about the Copa Libertadores, about the relationship of the front runners of the Houston Dynamo and how he feels it's working. So Maxi Arruti will be on. He is now a real veteran of Major League Soccer, 9 seasons. And yeah, let's ask him also about how it's changed, because Listen, South America is represented in Major League Soccer like there's no tomorrow. Yeah, why don't we talk about, got to bring this one up right away. If we're talking about South American players in Major League Soccer, Jefferson Yoteldo of Santos in Brazil, signed as a designated player by Toronto FC. Huge game changer, huge game changer. He was best 11 in the 2020 Copa Libertadores. What a signing for them. Off the charts. That guy himself is going to make Toronto FC just leap up a couple of categories under Chris Armas as far as a team that could be potentially the MLS Cup winners. All right, so Real Madrid-Chelsea 1-1 today. Did you watch it? 713-780-3776. Pulisic in the 14th, 29th, Karim Benzema. Pulisic now has 5 goals in the Champions League all-time, which is a U.S. best. He jumps ahead of the legendary DeMarcus Beasley. 14th minute, he gets a ball in behind, and it was a beautifully flighted ball out of midfield, in kind of to the left of the Real Madrid goal. And what was a little weird to me was basically the two center backs ran to the goal line and left Thibaut Courtois to deal with Pulisic himself. And Pulisic moved laterally and laid out Courtois and then was able to get the shot off and score. Now, as a friend of mine, Michael, told me, he said, hey, you also have to consider the wingspan, the arm length of Courtois. And it was a good point. Small point, but a good point. And Pulisic scores that goal. Now, he's getting a lot of the ball at this point in this game. And he's getting it behind the Real Madrid midfield. And they can't get their shape. They can't get their compactness. He's picking up a lot of balls in there. He's got Timo Werner running in front of him. He's got Mason Mount doing work. N'Golo Kante is actually getting into the attack on occasions because there is so much space. And their final ball's missing. And you're sitting there going, look, you are dominating these guys. You're now 20, 25 minutes in. You're dominating. You have to get a second goal. You got to get it during your best times. And they didn't get it. And then in the 29th minute, out of nowhere, as spectacular as a goal you'll see, Benzema takes it off his head, controls it off his head, folks, with people around him in the box. So cushions it off his head. Dips his left shoulder and lashes in a right-footed volley in the blink of an eye. I mean, it was a blurry orb. This thing just flashed in past Mende. I mean, it was a volley that went off the charts. And by the way, Deschamps, you may have been the little soldier. Bring Benzema back to the French national team, please. Don't be a fool. I know you won the World Cup. You need Benzema. So Real Madrid manager Zinedine Zidane was trying to get that shape of his team back together. And then guess what? They seemed indecisive that first 29 minutes up until the goal. They looked like they were a team in between. And you see this. Sometimes it just doesn't get executed the way people want it to be executed. Part of your team looks like it's trying to press. The triggers aren't there. People aren't, you know, when they see the trigger to press, maybe they're not reacting. And your team gets pulled apart a little bit. And then after the goal, all of a sudden it gets better. And, of course, Real Madrid's a very good possession team. Chelsea is, too. These guys are world-class, every single position. But Timo Werner, Mason Mount, and Christian Pulisic, if we want to be critical, should have capitalized. And they could have won that game. It was a winnable game. And these road games are winnable without fans. There's no question. I mean, the data proves it out, that road teams are getting results. And you're getting opportunities on the road that once fans come back, you know, and there's 60,000 people. This one was played in the Alfredo Di Stefano Stadium. Road games are going to become more difficult again. So maybe a missed opportunity for Chelsea. On the other hand, if you said, well, 1-1 with Real Madrid at Real Madrid, positioning us for the second leg at home at Stamford Bridge, we'll take it. By the way, we saw Eden Hazard. Remember him? Yeah, got a couple of minutes. And then the two teams, by the way, in the second half, kind of canceled each other out. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. The great Aaron Raybould behind the glass here tonight as always. Aaron, thank you very much for that. Let's take a quick hit here as the phone lines are lighting up a little bit. Let's get George. George wants to talk the Champions League. George.
Hey, Glenn. How's it going today?
Very good, George. How are you? We're doing soccer on the radio. It's a great day.
I'm doing just fine. I managed to watch a stream of the game at work on my phone. I agree with everything you said. Real Madrid just seemed like they, I don't know if they were trying to park the bus or what they were doing, but no real spark. I love Pulisic's goal, although, like you, I think it was a product partially of just really inattentive Real Madrid defense. Pulisic should have had an assist earlier, but I don't know how Werner missed that shot.
Oh, the one he headed down into his pass. Yeah, yeah. He headed it down right into his path about 6 yards from goal, and he hit it right at Courtois.
It was beautiful. That head ball, it was on a platter for Werner. You know, he didn't have to really judge like a weird bounce or anything. He should have been able to pick his spot. But, it is what it is. Benzema, this is the best season he's ever had. And, man, that sucks. That was their only shot on goal, and just our luck.
Don't forget before the volley, he hit an absolute bomb that hit the post, and
Mendy, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's why you have the guy though. And listen, he's blossomed without Cristiano Ronaldo there in a lot of ways.
For real, I never thought I would see that. But hey, I've got a quick question for you, Glenn. If you got a second. I love the Champions League, and I love this format, where they play the two games. But I'm wondering, is home field even an advantage right now with no fans? I'm with you. It's like, wow, you won one in Real Madrid, now you're going to go play at home. Do you think there's really an advantage? You've called a lot of games during COVID. Do you feel like home field isn't what it used to be, or is it,
Without fans, no question it's not the same thing. What do you want to do? You want to go into a cauldron at Real Madrid in the Bernabeu with, 80, 90,000 people, whatever it holds? Or do you want to go play in a Alfredo Di Stefano stadium with nobody there and you can hear the sound of a ball being struck, you can hear the voices of your teammates and your coaches shouting? I the data proves that out, too. There's a lot of road results being gathered in all the big leagues in Europe. And without a question, I think it makes it easier. And I would even say to a degree in MLS, the big drawing teams like the Atlanta Uniteds and, the Portlands and smaller crowds, I think do play into the hands of the road team.
Yeah, and Man U's success on the road has been nuts this year. But I've got to admit, as a TV viewer, it's been cool watching the games where they don't pipe in the crowd noise and you can literally hear, all of the, the communication between the players. It's that's kind of neat. Like, from my playing days, I remember how that sounded on the field, and then to see the real pros doing it, it really makes me feel closer to the action.
No question about it, George. I love it, too, without the artificial stuff. I want it to be authentic and real. And by the way, when you go back and look at these games one day, empty stadiums will remind you of the unreal year that everyone around the world went through with the pandemic. George, thank you so much for the call. Great stuff. Way to get us off and running. Thank you. Let's go to AY. AY, what's on your mind? My buddy AY.
Glenn, how you doing?
Yes, I'm great, AY. How are you?
Please, I'll have to call you back. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. So AY, you call me back, all right? So AY called me to say he's got to call me back. But he's a working man, so I know what he's probably doing. Right now, Atlanta United and the Philadelphia Union, 7 minutes in at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. By the way, Major League Soccer has 5 out of 8 teams in there. So could this be the year Liga MX doesn't take the spoils? 713-780-3776. That's the number to call in. Anybody got to take on Chelsea today and Real Madrid? So back to it. Tomorrow we've got PSG in the European Champions League, and they will take on Manchester City. My gut on this one is Manchester City obviously is going to have more of the ball than PSG, and PSG is going to be incredibly dangerous on the counter, Dak, with Neymar and Mbappe. Okay, so I just stated the obvious, right? Question is, you know, other than being brilliant with the ball, you are going to have some moments where you're going to have to defend this counterattack. And you know, I would love to be in a locker room with Pep Guardiola's talking about, okay, the times we lose the ball in transition, how do we deal with this? Because Mbappe is like he's shot out of a cannon. Neymar, ridiculous. And he seems motivated. And PSG now has Pochettino as their coach. They want a Champions League title, something vicious. And so does Manchester City. I mean, this is big tomorrow. I'm really, really intrigued with this one tomorrow. As much as I love seeing Pulisic score, this one's intriguing tomorrow just because of the desire of these teams to win a Champions League title and to have managers there that they are expecting their clubs to win a title. And by the way, Manchester City won the Carabao Cup. And we can talk a little bit about that if you want. But 713-780-3776, Christian Pulisic scoring today. What does that mean to you, the American soccer fan? How historic of a day is this? So more on the Super League as well. J.P. Morgan apologizing over the Super League. They had pledged $4 billion of financing to get the league off the ground and going. Quote, "We clearly misjudged how this would be viewed by the wider football community and how it might impact them in the future. We will learn from this." Don't you love the pandering? Now, if you're dreaming that American owners are going to sell, like Kroenke at Arsenal, the Glazers at Manchester United, the Henry Group at Liverpool, well, if you think that's going to happen in the near future, yes, you are dreaming. That's what I judge. Our great friend Tom Clare, by the way, wrote a scathing letter on behalf. He's part of the Manchester Trust, which is a group that does so much about the history of Manchester United. And they published his letter on the front page of the Manchester Evening News. He was on a bunch of shows over there. It's up on Facebook Soccer Matters. All right, Advantage BMW Midtown. Head down there. I've bought from Advantage BMW. Go down there, see Justin and Steven. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. I've had 5 Series, 3. I've graduated to an X5. More room. Bike, dog can go in there. You can throw all kinds of stuff in there. Just an incredible ride. I've told you about the trip I took. Get yourself in a 3.5, a 7 Series, an X5. Advantage BMW Midtown. Proud sponsors of this show. Led Zeppelin takes you to break.
I'm Greg Berhalter, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time to get caught up with Dynamo striker Maxi Arruti. This brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. And, of course, you get down to Advantage BMW Midtown, they will get you in a sedan, an X5, whatever you want. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. Maxi, thanks very much for coming on. I guess the first thing I'll say is, how about a quick thought or two on the Chelsea Real Madrid game? I know you watched it.
Hello, yes, I watched the game. For me, it's amazing because Chelsea play first 30 minutes, 100%, press a lot to the Real Madrid, and they have a lot of chances to take a scores. But after, you know, Real Madrid is a smart team, play very well. And after it's 1-1.
Do you watch a lot of additional football? I mean, I know some players, they don't watch as much. Some do. Do you like watching a lot of leagues? And what are the leagues that you watch?
Always. I watch every league. For example, now I watch the Real Madrid-Chelsea. And after the Copa Libertadores, I Vélez Sarsfield, Independiente del Valle, Palmeiras. I love watch the games, you know. The different league, I don't have problem. When I put the TV, a lot of games, I watch, no problem.
Okay, when you watch, and we're talking to Maxi Arruti, the striker for the Houston Dynamo, when you watch a Champions League game in Europe and then you go to a Copa Libertadores, I love the rawness of South America. Sometimes it's too slick for me in Europe. You know what I mean? It's perfect. But I love South America because there is a rawness to it. How would you describe the difference between maybe Copa Libertadores and Champions League in Europe?
Maybe it's very different because in South America, you know, you have a lot of team, a lot of players to win this trophy, you know. Not always, maybe the champions, Real Madrid, the last 5 years, always stay top. But in South America, like a Boca Juniors, River Plate, Palmeiras, Santos, I love when I watch this team, Brazil versus Argentina, you know. But for me, it's not similar, but I prefer the Champions League, you know. It's Europe, it's very different, but in South America, the Libertadores is very important too.
Talking to Maxi Arruti of the Houston Dynamo, Toronto FC just signed the Venezuelan Jefferson Soteldo, another talent. You know, South America continues to supply Major League Soccer. You're proof of that. You came earlier than a lot of these guys. Tell me why it's so appealing to South Americans outside of just that South American players seem to be a very good value for Major League Soccer.
Yes, for sure. I love when the players, the South American players come to this league, because when I came 9 years ago, we don't have a lot of players to South America, you know. And now when you see the teams, you have Argentinian players, Venezuela, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, a lot of South America. For me, it's perfect because this league is top. And these players is amazing to play, you know, versus or on your team. But for me, it's amazing when the Argentina player come to this league.
Maxi, how do you feel it's going now with the Dynamo 2 games in? Let's get a couple thoughts on the game in Portland, and then we'll go into some more things.
Perfect. For me, it's different games. The first one at home, we play very well. You know, after 5 months stop for the pandemic, we play at home with the fans. It's very excited. And after we go to Portland, for me, it's the team more difficult that way. We play very, very good. For me, the first half, we have 1-1. And after, we create chances to take the score. But, you know, Portland is very difficult. When you have a ball, it's very different. But for me, we need to stay focused. Now, with LAFC at home, this is a very important 2 game.
Maxi, do you feel things are beginning to get a little bit more consistent and recognizable with you and Pasher and Fafa and Memo? Do you feel it's improving the more you play with each other?
Yes, for sure, because we are new players in this team, and the coach have an idea to play at front with 3 forward. And Memo now play like a 10 or 8, you know. But for me, it's very important when I play at top because I have support with Fafa, Taylor, and Memo to press, you know, and keep the ball. For me, it's amazing. This formation I love because we have two good midfielders and recover the ball and play forward. For me, this is the question.
So your movement, and we talk about this a lot, we're all, you know, very respectful of this great movement and these spaces you create for other people. This kind of connection you had with Memo, it seemed to really be working against San Jose, where you're making space for him. And he's actually beyond you at times. He's ahead of you at times when you come back into midfield. Take me into that a little bit deeper and what you're trying to achieve there.
Yes. The first score versus San Jose, I remember I dropped and Memo go and play 1v1 with defender and after with the keeper. This is the question. It's very important when we talk together to say, okay, when I go, you run. This is the difference because I create a space for you and Memo too. When Memo take a ball, I take a diagonal for the other forwards, Afafa and Taylor. For me, it's amazing because I have Memo close to me to play 1-2. And after we see outside to take a cross for first touch.
Maxi, the importance of this game this weekend back at home and kind of responding to the game in Portland. Before we get into LAFC, did you feel like you ran out of a little bit of energy in the second half against Portland? Because the first half, it was right there. Second half, maybe energy goes down a little bit. Did you think that?
Maybe Portland down, you know, down the press, the keeper. And after, yes, we don't have too much ball. We don't create a lot of chances like the first half. But for me, at home, it's very different. We know the fans, the field. We play now with, for me, the best team in MLS. Because for me, LAFC play 100% 90 minutes. And they press a lot all time. And we need to stay focused, you know. It's 90 minutes, play hard 100% with this team at home. And we need a 3 point.
Maxi, you've been in this league a long time. You've seen the growth of the league, the quality of the play, and you mentioned how difficult this league is. There really is no easy game in Major League Soccer, is there?
No. Now, every game is very difficult. At home, away, the teams in MLS is amazing. You see these two games. San Jose lost here, and after win to Dallas in San Jose, and you see, you don't understand what happened. But for me, the old teams, now we are very, very far.
Do you notice that the teams are playing a large portion of them are playing a more pressing type of style, a very athletic pressing style?
Yes, LAFC, you know, for me, the best team in this formation. But we have players to play 50-50, you know. We have Fafa, Mati Vera, a lot of press. We need play compact in this game. We need understand the other team come to press at home, but we need keep a ball. And after, for me, the more important is the moment. The moment for the forward, for the midfielder to create a space to the other players.
Maxi, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck against LAFC. We appreciate it. And let's get it done against this team from Los Angeles this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Maxi Rudy, Houston Dynamo in action against LAFC this weekend. That game you'll catch on the radio right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So don't forget to tune in to the pregame show. Eddie Robinson and I'll have the call. All right. We'll take a break. It's a John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm break.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Rudiger. He's found Pulisic. There's no flag here. It's Christian Pulisic. Courtois held him up, but Pulisic has scored! And Chelsea take the lead.
That was a Christian Pulisic goal, and Chelsea in a 1-1 draw today with Real Madrid. They'll go back to Stamford Bridge for leg two in the UEFA Champions League semifinals. Tigres beat Monterrey this past weekend. By the way, that's the biggest game on the planet in this part of the world when it comes to clubs. Tigres and Monterrey. That's got to be a capital city of the sport. They'll host the World Cup. The Clásico Regio. Arturo Gonzalez scoring the opener for Monterrey. Tigres came back. They got goals from Carlos Gonzalez. And, of course, the man who scores all their big goals, André-Pierre Gignac, who broke LAFC and MLS fans' hearts. Two guys got sent off in that one. That one was tempestuous. Had my good friend Rodrigo De Luna was down in Monterrey, and he just said everybody was out barbecuing. They had jerseys on. Sometimes you'll see One family member with a Rayados jersey, one family with a Tigres jersey. And our town is filled with people who support those two teams. And they drive back across the border to watch those games. Two guys sent off were Sebastian Vegas and Rafael Carioca. So that's what we have there. I'm going to quickly hit AY here. AY, what's on your mind? Let me go to you quickly, and then let me get my guest on after that. How are you, AY?
I'm fine, Glenn. And you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind? You had a business call, I bet.
Yeah. Yes, Glenn.
I know you.
You know, 12 years ago, we were in this Chelsea was in this similar situation. That was 12 years ago in the Champions League against Barcelona. I could remember quite, it still haunts me till today in the sense that we went to the new camp and we got a draw. That was a goalless draw at the new camp. And we came back to Stamford Bridge. While playing, Chelsea scored an early goal via Michael Essien. Then, along the way, Beko was still playing for Barcelona. He got a red card. To cut the long story short, we had 4 minutes of injury time, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and Iniesta broke our heart. So, my point being that I'm very nervous. So we played very well today, but that 1-1 draw, it still makes me nervous. It's not over yet until we get to Stamford Bridge and get the job done. That's just my.
But AY, who said it's over? Who's saying it's over?
Some of my friends are saying yes. We got the away goal, so we needed that away goal. It's over. That we feel true.
Oh, that come on! It's Real Madrid. That's very naive thing to be to you know. If you want to convince yourself and make yourself feel good, yeah, you can do that. But come on, this is Real Madrid. This team lives up to the big moments as good as anybody, and everybody knows that the winning spirit and the mentality of Zinedine Zidane, road goal or not, it's a good position to be in. But this is not over.
It's not. I'm nervous. So I'm just nervous.
No, don't be nervous. Never, be excited. What an opportunity for Chelsea. They're playing to be in the Champions League final. You should enjoy that as a Chelsea supporter.
I just hope that next week at Stamford Bridge, they know that we should just go out for an outright win. It's not that we should go there and start defending because Real Madrid is coming to get that. They know that they have to score a goal. They know that. They just have to score a goal for them to scale through. We don't. So you see,
that's
the mindset.
Right.
I hope PT can give them that mindset that this is less than. And you know, we have a game on Saturday, and I hope PT can just go there and rest most of the players. Mason Mount should not play come Saturday. He shouldn't play the starters.
AY, I got to get to my guest, but I thank you as always for calling in. You're as passionate as they come when it comes to Chelsea, and I'm going to be thinking about you in that second leg. If you need me to walk you off the ledge, call the show after the game, okay? That is if they don't get the result. Or you can call the show being a very happy man, right?
I will. Take care. Right. Have a nice time. Happy birthday in advance. Happy birthday to you in advance.
You're a good man, AY. Thank you very much for that. Man, what a great guy. I absolutely love that guy. That is one passionate football man right there. All right, so I have to mention here, MLS, Austin FC had scored their first ever goal. Diego Fagundes will come up a little bit later in this show. They got their first ever win. They got their first ever points. And you can't not pay attention to it. They are setting the bar higher here in Texas. I don't think there's any question. So Diego Fagundes is going to be on the show later on. We'll have Warren Barton, who's excellent from Fox, played for Newcastle in the Premier League. He will be on the show a little bit later as well. So let's not forget also Corey Baird of LAFC. And you heard what Maxi Arruti said about LAFC being the best pressing team in the league. All right, from the Striker, Texas. He covers the Houston Dynamo. He is Victor Ariza, and he's my good friend, has contributed a lot to the show. He joins us now. Victor, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Glenn?
Well, let's talk a little football here. Right now we got Atlanta United and Philadelphia in the 36th minute, 0-0 in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. I want to ask you about what I think is an incredible signing for Toronto FC and Jefferson Soteldo, reportedly $6.5 million transfer fee. He comes from Santos in Brazil, who was in the Copa Libertadores final. So the South American signings continue, Victor.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a surprise, right? MLS teams are the ones who want to spend. They bring in top-quality players, and I mean, it's, you know, I think you called the game, right, where he was coming out in one of the under, what was it, the under-17 FIFA World Cup with Venezuela.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Ronaldo Peña was also on there, who, you know, played for Dynamo, and, you know, briefly, and, you know, we thought he might be one of the upstart guys, but, you know, good for Toronto FC, right? They keep spending, and you know, it's a trend. It's a trend with everybody else in MLS, except, well, maybe not so much here. I mean, there was, what, about over $1 million spent on a guy just last year, right? Mateo Bahamich. Eventually we'll see him play for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, it was. He's definitely a project. That's what we're hearing now. That's what Matt Jordan has said, the Dynamo general manager. So Teldo is not a project. At $6.5 million, he's expected to come in immediately and make a difference. All right, look, you were out in Portland. You saw the game. You were in the environment. What's the big takeaway right off the top?
Well, it was a good opportunity for Dynamo to get an away win and or at least get a point, right? And I think it has to be looked at that way, especially considering they haven't been good on the road in the previous years. But to me, it's a lost opportunity. They were obviously rattled by however many Portland fans were there. I don't think the attendance was published. I think Portland had said they were allowing 25% or around, you know, 6,000 fans. So, you know, I thought maybe it might have been a little more than that. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Dynamo looked rattled. I mean, 20 seconds in, what, Astrilla was about to, you know, couldn't get connect good on a shot. But you know, Portland was already moving up front. 6 minutes in, they take the lead. I mean, to me, it's more of the same, you know, road woes and problems for the Dynamo. They take one back, but they never get the lead, and then, you know, eventually Portland makes them pay with their bench.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question Giovanni Savarese was rotating his squad, but the depth of their squad is pretty incredible. And this is without Sebastian Blanco, who was clearly the best player in 2020 the MLS is back tournament. Did I get that right? The MLS is
right.
Back tournament.
Yeah.
He was incredible in that tournament, and then he tore the ACL, which was sad. They also don't have Andy Polo, so it's always a tough thing. But I'm going to tell you something that I'm going to differ and disagree slightly with you. Yes, maybe they were rattled a little bit, but I thought the Dynamo actually collected themselves very well in the first half, unlike any Dynamo team I've ever seen in Portland. And it's easy to sit here and say, yes, they didn't get a result, and it's the same old on the road. And there's no question. And for the fan that's suffered through this for 7 years, in that context, I get it. But in the context of year two of Tab Ramos, I actually saw a better fight back, I thought. The Dynamo start whipping in crosses, and because of that type of delivery, they create some chances, they tie the game up, and I didn't think they had the staying power in the second half, and they got hit on a very, very direct goal, and they looked to be tiring a little bit at that point to me. But actually for me, and this is just me, under Tab Ramos, year two, and that's what I'm looking at, I think he got as much out of his team as he possibly could in this environment. And I think the question remains now, do the Dynamo have goal scorers that can complement this pressing system and produce timely goals that can win you games and can change games?
Yeah, well, that certainly is part of it because, you know, like you mentioned, Portland, you go to the bench and you get guys like Valeri and Van Vanken and all these guys that are, you know, guys that can help you win this game, right? And in the Dynamo's case, I mean, who did you have? Probably maybe Juli Darwin Quintero. You know, somebody proven, right, that, you know, You know, maybe Derek Jones, just because, also because, you know, Corona was gassed and you needed to get somebody in there to control the middle of the field. But ultimately, I mean, what does the bench bring to the Dynamo attacking team, right? I mean, to the 11, right? Is it an upgrade whenever somebody comes on the team? Is it something that's going to propel you to get a result, to win? Or is it just, you know, again, just a bunch of group of guys that it's just, you know, yeah, it makes the team more competitive, but ultimately, are they going to be able to get results with this roster? I don't think the answer to that is a yes.
Well, the amount of game changers, and I think it's a fair point you're bringing up. Do you have the game changers? And the game changers are going to have to be Maxi or Rudy. They're going to have to be Memo Rodriguez. They're going to have to be Tyler Pasher, who, by the way, I thought Pasher had a second consecutive good game. But the question is, can this good work? Can getting to the end line, can these things turn into goals? His one-on-one with Atanella, can these turn into goals and propel the Dynamo? And, you know, Fafa Pico. These are things that I think remain a big question against better competition. And, you know, we're going to find that out with LAFC this weekend, probably without Diego Rossi and Carlos Vela. That said, still a very, very good team. What else jumped out at you in this game in Portland, being there live?
Well, from the game, just to kind of cap off on that, if the Dynamo aren't going to get better playmakers, then Tab's going to figure out a way to squeeze more out of the team, right? Maybe the change has got to come in quicker. Maybe he's got to, I don't know. I mean, but ultimately he's got to, you know, either read the game better, quicker. He's got to pull one in, find a way to get an advantage over opposing coaches. Cause you speak of the guys, right? Tabárez, a proven guy in this league and really in North American soccer. Bob Bradley coming into town this week. Almeida, you know, almost kind of got the better of him, in the first game. So, you know, they have to, the coaching staff here has to get more out of this team overall.
I think that's a good point. I think the Dynamo, you know, there's not a lot of room. Like I look at Cecilio Dominguez, right? They got him for 2.5 in Austin. Cecilio Dominguez,
right?
His first game played a little bit wider against LAFC. All right, Josh Wolf brings him into the interior more. He mentioned that in the second half. He scores two goals. I mean, that's what a DP has to win you games. It has to win you a couple games during the year. It's got to earn you 9, 12, whatever it is, points. And I think we're still waiting to see who that player potentially could be for the Dynamo. Now, Maxi Arruti and his movement, you know, maybe it's a group thing, but it's got to happen. But I think, to your point, you know, the Dynamo have to almost play perfect games all the time. You know, you want to be able to play a lousy game. You want to be able to play a game where you don't play well, but you know what? One guy picks up a ball twice in the final 10 minutes in a game you shouldn't win and wins you the game.
Or the other one, I mean, like you just mentioned, I think Maxi is probably one of the guys that, you know, maybe he doesn't, because he doesn't score, maybe he, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, what's he getting out of it? But the movement that he brings you, right? Taking him off, putting a guy in, who was it, I think, ultimately comes in for him. Lassiter, you know, Quintero come in, Christian, and I mean, it just changes it. You know, the moves that, you know, just kind of changes what the Dynamo were doing. I thought they lost their shape up front, right? It was no longer a 4-2-3-1. Those are the kind of things that you know, I kind of look at.
You're losing, you know, 2-1. You got to throw a little caution to the wind. I mean, I think Tab just emptied out all his attacking players to see if something could change being down 2-1 with a few minutes left in the game. So, you know, your shape is going to get, I think, a bit, you know, it's not going to look as good as it was because you're desperate, right? And we've seen that a lot. But,
right.
But go ahead, carry on.
Yeah, I guess, and then the last one is just, you know, what I guess we'll end up seeing what some of these moves are. You know, I guess I kind of want to hear what you got to say about the Boniek experiment, right? Because I thought it was a bit of a stopgap, but, you know, you're a former professional defender. You're a former center back. I mean, given, let's say, the guy's healthy, Alejandro Funmayor, I mean, isn't that a bit of an insult that he's not playing? He's not getting any minutes if the guy is healthy? Because, you know, ultimately, that he's one of these guys that they renewed in the offseason, picked up their option. you know, somebody like him not playing, right? We haven't seen Bahamich. Ultimately,
Bahamich didn't make the game day roster.
But Fuenmayor was there.
He has struggled a little bit in preseason, the games I've seen. I mean, he's trying to work his way into it. But, you know, at some point you have to say, you know, he was touted as a big signing. And I get he's young and all that, but there's an awful lot of young guys making things happen. To your point on Fuenmayor, so Fuenmayor, not seeing practice, it's very tough for us, right? So Fuenmayor had been injured. You know, where is he fitness-wise? I don't know. Tab obviously sees these players more comfortable playing Boniac Garcia there. But this is the last chance saloon for me for Alejandro Fuenmayor. You know, you either get it done this year, you break into the starting lineup, whatever it is,
back, right?
You know, convince the manager. Back. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the other Ethan Barlow, the draft choice, has been injured. So, you know, it is the last chance saloon for some of these players. You know, you got to make it happen. And I think this coach is going to set a higher bar. And if you aren't, you can see how quickly he's looking to make this his team.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think, to me, I go back to kind of what it was with San Jose. I mean, I know, especially if there's no Vela, no Rossi, which obviously we'll find out, then it turns into a must win because, you know, you're probably not going to get much on the road for, again, I go back to what we were saying maybe, I think, last year.
Yeah, that's a good point, Victor. I agree with that 100%. With those two guys out, you do have to win at home. And, you know, you're going up then. If those two guys don't play, you're playing against Corey Barrett, who will be later on, will be on the show shortly, Jose Cifuentes and Opoku. So, look, they got a great midfield with Mark Anthony Kay, Atuesta's back, Latif Blessing. But you have to say to yourself, this could be a very winnable game against, you know, what Maxi Arruti just called the best pressing team in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's certainly no joke. I mean, they got to the final of the Champions League.
And they remember that game, Victor? They didn't have Atuesta at the West that wasn't available. That was so sad that he wasn't available for that final game against Tigres.
Yeah, they could have gone to the Club World Cup.
No question. But, all right, I want to talk to you about David Ochoa, who after RSL wins, punts the ball into that wonder wall, they call it, the wonder wall in Minnesota. They beat Minnesota United 2-1. It starts a fracas. Was it that bad to you? I mean, I get the modicum and the sportsmanship of the game. Was it that bad?
I think the league is more interesting. I mean, as long as you try to hit somebody in the face, like it was with, I think it was with Kaku at Kansas City one, you know, one of these years, as long as it wasn't something delivered like that, it's fine. I actually like that part of it. I mean, I know that a lot of it was made up, not kicking the ball, right? I'm talking about also just, I guess his antics, right, was something talked about where it was also, you know, he was trying to hold on to the ball, right? They were kind of trying to waste time with the Otis style, but nah, man, do what you got to do to win. And, you know, RSL, a little bit of an edge to them. I'm cool with it.
And by the way, they play again in May, so, you know, maybe it's the beginning of a rivalry. You know, the Wonderwall, he punted it up there. I mean, it was not gonna hurt anybody. MLS Team of the Week, Sean Johnson, Smith, Vigal, Braut, Gieland, Anderson Julio of RSL scored two goals in that game, by the way, against Minnesota. Federico Higuain, Ezequiel Barco, Jesus Medina, Cecilio Dominguez, Chicharito, Cade Cowell. So Cade Cowell, now here's what we do to young players, right? Cade Cowell couldn't have controlled a bag of cement in the game against the Dynamo when he played for San Jose. It was a nightmare. The only thing people were, he couldn't. Now, look, he's a young kid, so I don't want to come off as being rude here. He's a developing, young, talented athlete. He did go shoulder to shoulder with Tim Parker twice and knocked Tim Parker down, which I've never seen because the kid's powerful and he's strong. So he scores a goal and an assist in the San Jose game. Now we're blowing him up through the roof. And I wish we didn't always do that to young players. Do you think we blow them up too fast?
That's in shambles. Yeah, because I think we don't know what these teams are yet. I mean, San Jose was at home. FC Dallas honestly should have won that game, right? If they were, I don't know what the hell, what's going on with them, you know?
Yeah. It's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Trying to get too cute with tactics. Yeah. But I think part of it is that, and then part of it, yeah, give the kid credit for you know, playing a great game. But again, it's one great game, right? I mean, it's the same thing. We say, well, same thing I say here locally with Memo Rodriguez. Yeah, I get it. Everybody wants to see the homegrown, but you know,
but Memo disappeared. He disappeared a little bit in the second half, and you got to, you know, this is about 90-minute games and consistency, and that's what Tab Ramos has said. He's really pushing him. Victor Ariza from the Striker, Texas, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We'll take a quick break here. By the way, CONCACAF Champions League is rolling on. As we go to break here, I want to remind you about our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll work for you 24-7, 713-322-HURT, presenting sponsors of this show. And a quick shout-out to Advantage BMW Midtown and Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Stay with us. We've got more to come.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.